Okay, Parshas Chukas begins with the Chok of Parah Aduma. Zos Chukas HaTorah, and certainly when we think of a Chok, Parah Aduma seems to be the prototypical, the classic Chok that we talk about, whatever the word Chok may in fact mean. David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha, and the Medrash comments that Chukecha is not just one Chok. If it was just one Chok, maybe it would refer to Parah Aduma. The Medrash comments, no, it's Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPara. Now, the fact that there's something called Chukas HaPesach really changes our perception of what a Chok is. I mean, if I were to ask you, definition of Chok, what does Chok mean? What? Something that has no reason. Something that has no explanation, right? In fact, Parah Aduma and Karban Pesach could not be more different from each other in that sense. They could not be more different from each other in that sense. For example, Parah Aduma is a mitzvah that in fact we don't understand. We have no concept, no understanding of what it's about. As Rabbi Marcus pointed out last, I think, did Rabbi Marcus point this out? Amarti Echma v'Yiruchokim Meni, maybe it was a share I was listening to online. Amarti Echma v'Yiruchokim Meni, Parah Aduma is something that is, that Shlomo HaMelech says, I thought I was so wise, but it's Rechokim Meni, it's beyond me, I don't understand the Parah Aduma. The wisest of all men despairs from ever understanding it properly. And if somebody tries to come to an understanding of this mitzvah, Chazal tell us, Chukim chakakti, gzeros gazarti, ve'en l'cha rishus l'harer achrayen. Hashem says, why? Like your parents told you when you were little. Because I said so. That's it. What do you mean because you said so? Why did you say so? Because I said so. And that's it. You have to listen. Chukim chakakti, there is no explanation. Our attitude toward the Karban Pesach is pretty much the exact opposite. It's diametrically opposed to our attitude toward the Parah Aduma. We have a specific command to sit there, talk about, discuss. Why is it? What does it symbolize? Al matzos merom yachluhu. We have other foods that go along with it that symbolize the entire story of the night. What we're remembering, what we're hoping for, what the plans are, what the Jewish history is and the Jewish destiny is going to be. All based on this focal point of the discussion, the Karban Pesach. If somebody doesn't know to ask on his own, at Pesach lo, make sure there's a discussion, make sure he understands, because that's the whole mitzvah. So the discussion is imperative. Kana ben Shaul, Pesach zu al shuma, kol amarbe, hareza meshubach. And yet, it's also a chok. So what does that mean? What exactly is the link between Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPara? How are these both considered to be chukim? Rashi tells us that when the Malach came to tell Avram Avinu not to shecht Yitzchak, meaning after he got the initial command that he's supposed to slaughter Yitzchak by the Akedah, the Malach comes, Amle Avram, Afarish lefanecha sichi, etmol amartali, ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazera, v'chazartav amartali, kachno as bincha v'aleo li'ola. Avram says, I'm confused. Keep giving me mixed messages. First you tell me, go bring your son as a carbon. Okay, great, I'm willing to do it. Not great, but I'm willing to do it. Then, I'm sorry, first you tell me, I'm going to build an entire nation out of Yitzchak. Sounds awesome, that's great. You know, one child is going to become a whole nation, that's fantastic. And we know this is how things happen, you know, a small amount of people can become a very, very great number. Look what happens to Sheva Dan in the counting in the Midbar. Dan had one son, Chushim, one disabled child, and he became this much greater Sheva than many of the other Shvatim that had many, many more children. Okay, so Avram may feel like a tiny little person with only one little child, with only one little child that's going to carry on his legacy, but it's going to be this great nation. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, no, shecht him. Before he ever has a chance to build a family, before he ever leaves a legacy, shecht him. And now you're telling me not to? I don't get it. And the Medrash is troubling. At what point would you have asked the question? You know, at what point would you have said, wait a second, I don't understand? Probably as soon as God changed his mind the first time, you'd ask the question. You know, wait, you told me I was supposed to make a great nation, a large family out of him, and now you're telling me I should check them. That would be a good time to ask, what's going on? Why does Avram wait for Hashem to change his mind a second time and tell him not to slaughter his son before he begins to ask questions? So Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, explains that there are two elements, two critical elements to Avodas Hashem that are being taught to us in Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPara, and through that prism we can understand Avraham Avinu as well. The Chukas HaPara is the requirement to do even when we do not understand. We will not understand, we do not understand, but we do it anyway because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us and we follow the commands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chukas HaPesach is the requirement to understand what we just did even after it's already done. See, during the time of Asiya, when God calls us to action, it's not time to analyze, understand. When God calls us to action, act. When Avraham was asked to slaughter his son, he went and he did it. He didn't understand it. He didn't need to understand it. It was about fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. That's the Chukas HaPara. But once he's told to stop, the Maisa is over. Now it's time to reflect. Now it's time to think. Now it's time to analyze. Now Avraham wants to understand. Now it's time for Chukas HaPesach. And there are times in a life of a Jew where a person has to have a Chukas HaPara attitude. Something needs to get done and we can't ask, but will it work? Won't it work? How am I going to do it? Why am I going to do it? Is this a... And then there are times where we need to reflect and we need to think, what was the message of all of that? What do I get out of all of that? What do I what message for life do I take from that? Rav Asher Weiss explains that's the experience of Nasa v'Nishma. You know, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches tells us that B'shal Sheik Dimu Yisrael Nasa l'Nishma, when Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, Yardu Shishim Riba Malachi Asharis Vil Bishulam Shnei Kesarim Echad Kenega Nasa v'Echad Kenega Nishma. 600,000 Malachi Asharis came down and they put two crowns on each of us, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. Rav Asher Weiss points out, what many of the other Achronim point out, it doesn't say B'sha Sha'omru Nasa V'Nishma. In which case it would make sense that there would be two crowns, because they said two words, Nasa and Nishma. It's B'sha Shehikdimu Nasa V'Nishma. Why are there two crowns then? Hikdimu means it was the order. So the order is just one thing, that they put Nasa before Nishma. It wasn't about saying Nasa V'Nishma. There were two words spoken, but there was only one kedima. The moment was special because we were willing to say Nasa before Nishma, not because we said those two words. So why two crowns? So Rav Asher Weiss explains that putting Nasa before Nishma actually involves two chidushim. Each of those chidushim is worthy of its own crown. First, there's the willingness to say Nasa, even though we have not yet been Nishma. We haven't yet heard exactly what it is. That is the Chukas HaPara. The ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu faithfully, even if we don't have a full or even a partial understanding in this case. Second Chiddush is that there's a willingness to be Nishma after Na'asa. It's over already. Na'asa, I already agreed to do it. No, but we're still interested in Nishma. We still want to deepen our level. And this certainly is, I'm quoting correctly, what Marcus said last night about emunah. You know, a person will think that I have emunah. I either have it or I don't. I'm either an atheist or a believer. Like, there are two categories. No, a person can be a believer and then figure out how to deepen my belief. Why am I a believer? What do I believe in? How strong is my belief? A person can build up in their sense of understanding. And that's the Chukas HaPesach. We may do the same thing every year by the Chukas HaPesach, but it better not be the same thing every year. There should be growth each and every time. We never give up trying to understand something more deeply, to enhance our experience as a Jew with the mitzvah by working to appreciate the real depth of a mitzvah. So there are two crowns, two elements, the Tmimus Yehilibi Tamim B'chukecha of Chukas HaPesach and Chukas HaPara. Now, part of being raised in a religious environment is that there are certain things that are just, you know, it's like mother's milk, you know, certain things we were just born with and that are given to us and that we just take for granted that that's what we do, and that's good, that's healthy. We should, from a young age, before we know we have any concept of God, before we know what the words of the bracha mean, we should be taught to say brachos. We should be taught to do mitzvot and to observe Shabbos before we really understand the depth of Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, that's a great thing. It's a great thing to say Nasa before Nishma. But our challenge, and it's a challenge Bali Tshuva don't have as much, because they didn't have the Nasa before the Nishma, our challenge is to make sure that there's a nishma after the naaseh. That even once we're all in, even once we've committed to doing, to behaving like a Jew is supposed to behave, to still try to understand more, to deepen our understanding. It's really, you could say it about any area of halacha, but probably no more obvious area of halacha than what we're learning this summer. You know, learning brachos and the background of each bracha, we're going to spend a day on, at least a day on each bracha, probably a few days on mezonos. But to discuss where it comes from, what the rules are, you know, why they're like this, how it develops. And I'm not even talking from a hashkafic perspective. From a hashkafic perspective, even more so. Now, the Tzlach gives a mashal of a group that included a pregnant woman that was stranded on a desert island. So the baby was born on the island, and the child grows up, and he showed tremendous abilities in building, in hunting, and fishing, and, you know, all the things that are really critical for survival on this deserted island. And every day, one of the adults on the island would spend time with him, showing him like these strange symbols. He called them letters. And eventually he taught him how to read. And the kid was like, this is the stupidest thing in the world. Like, I do not need this skill. Meaning, they just show me these silly symbols. No one, it's the 12 of us on this island. It's about finding food. If I can fish and I can hunt and I can, you know, build a fire. And as long as I'm a good Boy Scout, I'm okay over here. What is this? What's this all about? What are all these symbols about? He has all the survival skills he thinks he needs. What's this esoteric, vague knowledge? Why would it be important to him? But one day, they get off the island, and the child sees how important it is to be literate out in order to succeed in the world. A person who's illiterate doesn't stand a chance. Now he understood what it's all about. The reading he did, the time he put in, started out as a chukas hapara. I'll do it because the adult is telling me to do it, but I have no idea why. But ultimately, he's going to understand that it's a chukas hapesa. He's going to understand that it's not enough to be able to struggle through a sentence, and that he's going to have to understand it better. He's going to have to know it even more. We put all the effort to live life as from Jews, understanding, to try to understand what it's really all about, and that's the great challenge. The great challenge for us, chukas hapara. Hopefully, we're there. Hopefully, we've gotten there to make that commitment of nasa. But our job, throughout the rest of it, and it's a lifelong job, that our davening shouldn't be the same davening as it was yesterday. A lot of times, you know, people, their level of tefillah gets stunted at like fourth grade or so. Okay, I got all the words down. Now I know how to say all the words. But tefillah is something that's supposed to develop, and it's something that you're supposed to be able to grow, and it's something that you're supposed to be able to deepen throughout your life. And for most other areas, tefillah is an extreme example because it usually stops at like fourth to sixth grade or so. And then it's downhill, then it stables, you know, comes back to about a fourth grade level. But the majority of religious practice, people have a tendency to plateau at a certain point. And our job is to never plateau, to always be climbing, to always be striving. Because Nasa and then Nishma, and that ultimately is the crown that David HaMelech was so proud of Chukas HaParah and Chukas HaPesach.